Pastor Ray Bentley urges us to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
When the enemy has a plan to deceive us, God, by His Holy Spirit, will give you something on the inside that says, it looks good, it sounds good, be careful. I want to exhort you, listen to the warnings. Because unfortunately, we don't always listen to that voice. We're not realizing the Spirit actually is speaking to us.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Car makers spend a surprising amount of research and development time selecting the warning sounds that remind you to fasten your seatbelt or turn off your headlights when you park. They want to make sure you pay attention. Well, today, we'll see God has a warning system too, and it's vital we pay attention.
All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. And we are going through the study of the book of Joshua as they enter into the promised land. And the title of the message is Pray About Everything 2.0. So basically, this is a new story, but the main lesson is the same lesson as the story before. Remember, they went to Ai, and Joshua thought, oh, you know, after Jericho, the big battle, Ai is just a little village on a hill. We don't even need to send the whole army. He didn't pray about it, and they were defeated. So, okay, then they had to repent, and they sought the Lord, and they went back, and God says, bring the whole army. They have a great victory. Great. Okay, on to the next story. And we find that Joshua is in the same situation and from a different, you know, vantage point, but he blows it again. And he makes the same mistake he made the first time. He doesn't seek the Lord. And it costs him in a very big way. So let me just ask, how many of you have ever, you know, just being honest, you've royally blown it maybe a time or so. But here's this follow-up question. Have you ever blown it and you're like, okay, I'm going to learn from this. And then you find out you're in another circumstance and you make the same dumb mistake again that you made before. You're like, oh, man, oy vey, what's wrong with me? Well, this is humanity, and here's the good news. God didn't say, all right, Joshua, I gave you two chances. You blew it. You're out. I'm bringing in a new guy. God said, Joshua, you're still my guy. Even though you made the same mistake twice, learn from it, grow from it. Our Father is a very patient Father. He wants us to really learn. He wants us to get it. And at some point, we come to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to seek the Lord. So that's why the main heart of the message is pray about everything, even if it seems small and insignificant, 2.0. So beginning with verses 1 and 2, we read this. And it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, they're in the promised land, in the hills and in the lowland, and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and any other ites there might have been, heard about it, and they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. So God has brought them into the promised land, and they've knocked out Jericho, and then with one little mishap, they knock out Ai. So all of these various tribes that are mentioned and named here that are in Canaan are going, they're knocking us off one at a time. And these guys are big, and their God is powerful. He already took on Egypt, which was like a world power, and knocked out Pharaoh and his army. And then they've knocked out on the other side of the Jordan two kings. Now they're on this side, and they got two more victories under their belt. So if we just sit here and wait, they're going to knock us off one tribe at a time. So they got an idea, let's pool our armies together, and then we'll fight Israel. Now, here's a very, very good thing for us to realize. In fact, I'm going to go to the first life lesson. After a great victory, or we might say even after a couple of great victories, we must be prepared to confront the enemy. When you have a victory in your life, and when God blesses you, and God answers your prayers, or you let your dreams begin to be realized, know this, the enemy will take notice. And one good thing we know about the enemy's camp is his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, is a kingdom divided against itself. That's one of the greatest things that we have as an advantage. They're all fighting with one another. But every once in a while, when some major victories start happening, all of a sudden, our enemies, who usually fight amongst themselves, will come together to fight a common enemy. And that's what the devil often will do. He will come and he will say, wow, they're starting to grow. They're starting to get it. They're starting to walk in the Spirit. They're walking in victory. And all of a sudden, he gathers his little evil demonic horde, and he goes, we've got to come with a full, united attack against this Christian. So what I'm saying is, watch out. I'm not saying this to frighten you. I am saying this just to give you a heads-up warning. This is what the Bible says. Because what the devil will say is, after you start having some victories, he'll start yelling and screaming and attacking, and it's kind of like you're getting hit from all, 360 degrees. And here's what the enemy says. He goes, look, yes, I'm harassing you, I'm yelling, I'm threatening, and it's uncomfortable. He goes, but I'll leave you alone if you just back off this spiritual surge you're on. And unfortunately, there are many believers who get razzled and dazzled. Oh no, the devil's after me. And they go, maybe I need to back off. Don't give in. The devil is a liar, he's a thief, and he's a robber. In fact, I want to say this. Once you start getting united opposition, that's the time to put the pedal to the metal and keep even going deeper for the Lord. And you don't have to be afraid, because he must yield. He must bow, not to me, not to you, but he must yield every time, and he must bow every time to Jesus Christ. Every single time. Because I want you to know something, the battle between the Lord Jesus Christ and the devil is done. It's over. Before you were even born, he met him and defeated him and overcame him 2,000 years ago. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Amen? So, the last time that Joshua got defeated at Ai was because, it's a little place, little Ai, it's a little city on a hill. We don't even need to send our whole army. And Joshua didn't pray about it, and he didn't seek the Lord. And now, amazingly, he is set up for the very same mistake, twice in a row. So know that after a great victory, we must be prepared to confront the enemy. Now, if you have a pen or pencil, write down two scriptures. Write down 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Because sometimes the enemy comes like a roaring lion. You know, lions are scary. And when they open their mouth and roar, they're not called the king of the jungle for nothing. May they roar, and it sends shaking fear to the entire animal kingdom. Here's the good news, though, about the devil. Though he roars like a lion, Jesus pulled all of his teeth. He's a teethless lion. The worst he can do is gum you to death. But anyway, the next scripture is to write down 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Because while sometimes the enemy comes like a roaring lion, other times, if he has failed, he comes back like a deceiving serpent, low to the ground, hiding in the grass, sneaking up to deceive you from some other way. Thus, we must be alert at all times, not out of fear, but out of warning and out of understanding. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, to kind of put them on notice that, look, guys, we're in a spiritual battle. Let's read Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord, in union with his mighty strength. Use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. Underline the phrase deceptive tactics. The enemy seeks to deceive us. And look, I want you to know, if nobody's ever, you know, told you about this, or if you're relatively new to this whole Christian thing and supernatural worldview, it's kind of like a couple hundred years ago, you know, if you would try to tell humanity, hey, look, there's these little tiny things that are so small, you cannot see them with your physical eyes, but they're there and they're real and they are after you, bacteria and all of that. And people say, what are you talking about? These little invisible things, oh, you're nuts, you're crazy. And then they discovered or created the microscope. And all of a sudden, for the first time, with the creation of the microscope, humanity was able to take what was formerly invisible and magnify it in such a way that we were like, oh my gosh, look at these little tiny things that are bacterias and viruses, and they're real. Well, let me tell you something. Your Bible is your magnifying glass, where God is taking every believer and saying, let me show you what you can't see with your natural eye, but is going on all around you and all behind you, and it's amazing what's happening in the supernatural realm. There are good angels, holy angels, cherubim, seraphim. There are fallen angels, demons, false gods. Isn't it kind of obvious, even if you're young in the Lord, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than what we see with our physical eyes. You can see it, you feel it, you sense it. So we need to be aware of that. And one of the tactics of the enemy is that he is deceptive. I mean, that's the whole point. He's trying to trick us or deceive us. So let's go to verses 3 through 8. It says, but when... So the other tribes decide to unite to fight. But there's one tribe that says, that's crazy. Their God is too big, too powerful, and we're going to lose. And we're going to die if we try to fight them. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done already to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily. Here's where the deceit's going to come. And they went to the children of Israel and pretended to be ambassadors from another country. But listen, they took old sacks on their donkeys and they old wineskins torn and mended, and then old and patched sandals on their feet and old garments on their backs, and all the bread of their provision, they let it become dry and moldy. Why? To deceive. Verse 6. And then they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, and they said to the men of Israel, we've come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us. And in my commentary, it actually said, use this voice when you're doing these guys. So anyway, verse 7, it says, the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us. Wait a minute, maybe it looks, could be deceiving, and you're one of the people here. You're one of our neighbors. We're supposed to conquer you. So how could we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, no, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, wait a minute, who are you and where do you come from? Now, I want you to notice that what these guys did is they pretended that they're from the other side of the border of Canaan. We're from afar, we've traveled thousands of miles, and we finally come here. We want a covenant of peace with you. And so here's what it's gonna show us. Here's the next life lesson. It is important to be listening to God's warnings. God had given internally warnings to Joshua and to the other leaders that something didn't add up, something wasn't right about this. Now, the reality is they were not from thousands of miles away. You know how far away the Gibeonites were? 25 miles. They were right there. They were the neighbors of the children of Israel. And since the enemy knew that God had told Joshua and his army, you're going to conquer all of the tribes in this land of Canaan. You're to conquer every last one of them. But beyond the borders of Canaan, if you find people on the other side of that boundary, you can make peace with them. And what's interesting is the Gibeonites knew that. They knew the instructions God had given to them. And therefore, they said, look, we're going to die. Even if all of our tribes unite, their God's too big, too powerful, we're going to end up being dead. Let's pretend, because their own God told them they could make peace if they were on the other side of the border of Canaan. So let's pretend we travel, all the old clothes, and they did all of that thing. I want you to know this. Their enemies knew the word of God. And I want you to know that the enemy knows how to use the word of God for his own purposes. You remember how when Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and fasting, getting ready for his ministry, who showed up at the end of 40 days? The devil shows up. And what is the devil wanting to do? Tempt Jesus. Derail him from the plan and purpose of the redemption of mankind. How did the devil try to derail Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God? He used the Bible. If you've read the passage, you know that the devil read the Bible and he quoted the Bible to Jesus. He said, hey, I know who you are. They don't know who you are, humanity. I know who you are. And all the other angels know who you are, and the demons know who you are. And you came here, you want to prove to them that you're from heaven and God? I'll tell you what to do. The Bible says that he will give his angels charge concerning you to bear you up, lest you even hurt or dash your foot against a stone. You want to prove to them that you're God? He takes them to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, stand on the corner of the temple, which is very, very high, goes down even to a cliff. He says, and jump off, and the angels will come and make sure you don't hurt your foot. And then you'll prove to them that you're divine and supernatural. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So what's interesting is, look, the Bible's been around a long time, and the devil knows the Bible. He's in rebellion against it, but he knows it, and he will craftily use it against you. So you and I have to be in prayer, and we have to know the word of God. And the whole point of what Satan tried to get Jesus to do is rather than doing it out of obedience to the Father, Satan said, I got my own plans of how to make you known to the world. Listen to me. And that's what the devil does. He tries to deceive us. He tries to get us to follow his guidance supernaturally in some way. Satan is a counterfeiter, and he masquerades as an angel of light, blinding the lost and seeking to lead believers astray. I want you to know this. This is very, very important to know because the devil wants to deceive. His greatest play is not, the goat head and all the spooky stuff and the Halloween caricature and the red guy with the pitchfork and the flames, whatever. The Julius Caesar guy, whatever. He is. That's not his best play. His best, most effective play is when he comes like an angel of light. He has done that many times throughout history to give and to deceive and create a whole new religion. He doesn't deny the spiritual or supernatural. He just twists it and says, "You want the supernatural? I'll give you all the supernatural you want, but follow me instead of the Creator, the Lord God." That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, which was in the Roman Empire and the area of ancient Greece that had all of that mythology and all of that demonic realm behind it. And this is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14 in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Beware when you are following the Lord, reading his word, praying, growing spiritually, and you get frustrated for whatever reason. The devil goes, oh man, I'll give you supernatural stuff. But you gotta, let go of that church thing and being in the Bible all the time and denying yourself. I'll show you another path to spirituality. I'll blow your mind. Look, there are false apostles. And where it says deceitful workers, what kind of work? Miracles. Supernatural stuff. Yes, it is. It's out there. The spiritual world is real. The supernatural world is real. But the devil is behind everything that doesn't lead to Jesus. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the gate. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. I am the only good shepherd who will lay down his life for the sheep who listen to me and follow me and trust in me. Can I hear an amen? That's the only way. Don't be deceived. Don't trade, you know, tricks of the supernatural, thinking that you're going to, because the devil makes it like, wow, you get to be in charge. I'll give you this and that, you know, and but he rips you off. He lies and he deceives you and abandon you. It's very, very important. So look at verses 7 and 8. I think this is so important. In verse 7, the men of Israel said to them, perhaps you dwell among us. How can we make a covenant with you? They go, no, we're your servants. And Joshua said, wait, who are you? And where do you come from? It is interesting that Joshua and his leaders had their doubts when they heard the story. Now listen, it's my personal experience that often when the enemy has a plan to deceive us and trick us, and he's hiding in the grass like a snake, God, by his Holy Spirit, will give you a warning. He'll give you something on the inside that says, it looks good, it sounds good, but something doesn't feel right on the inside. There will be a still, small voice saying, be careful. And I want to encourage you that you listen to that still, small voice. God has given us warnings that right this very moment, the enemy is setting you up. It all looks good on paper, and it all sounds good when you hear it, but you have some inner voice that is saying something just, I can't put my finger on it, just doesn't seem right. I want to exhort you and encourage you, listen to the warnings. God always gives his children that have the Holy Spirit warnings. Joshua had the warnings. The leaders had doubts about what they were being told in the story, even though it looked good. But guess what? They didn't listen to their own warnings. They went ahead and made a covenant, and it was a terrible, terrible mistake. Because unfortunately, we don't always listen to that voice, or we suppress it. Don't listen to that. We're not realizing the Spirit actually is speaking to us.
Practical insight today about listening to the Spirit's inner promptings. Pastor Ray Bentley with another segment in our verse-by-verse study of Joshua here on Maranatha Radio. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Pray About Everything 2.0. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, the title, Pray About Everything 2.0. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.